You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Is in effect. You know the house of pain is in effect. Dog Pound, show your pride and wear your orange and brown every Friday this season. Then share your photos using the hashtag Dog Pound for the chance to win tickets to upcoming Cleveland Browns home games. We bark together.
Woof, woof.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. 216-578-0850. We'll get phone calls going. But in the meantime, let's get into a couple of grades. And we can do it quickly since it's Wednesday and we want to move on.
Here. It's Raider week.
It's Raider week. Let's start quarterback Johnny Manziel.
B minus for Johnny Manziel for me. I thought some good, some bad. And but all in all, progression. And as I've mentioned multiple times Monday and earlier in the show today, the moxie and the gusto to make that throw and that play at the end of the football game to drive the stake through the Titans' hearts.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a B. Quarterback ratings, 133.9, the highest for a Browns quarterback since 2007. It's not an A because he did put the ball on the ground twice. He really was only asked to throw the football 15 times. But overall, light years improvement. And when I went back and watched the tape, and I broke down every pass play, still missed reads from the pocket that an NFL quarterback should see, should make, and to be able to deliver the football. So tremendous growth, tremendous progress. I'm ready to see him start. I'm ready to turn over the reins. But I believe that he has shown to me he can win in the NFL. He's made great strides. I want to see more. He left me wanting more.
So, again, just because you watched the film and I didn't, what did he do with the football when he missed the read? He went elsewhere?
So there was one where he had Barnage come into the window on a deep dig down the middle. Didn't see him, rolled out, bought time, and ended up completing it to Hawkins. The other one, the pass that he threw into double coverage to Hawkins.
Right.
It was a max protect two-man route. Hawkins on the go, Barnage on an out underneath him to the left. Barnage was wide open. And instead, he waited, and he had plenty of time to throw the ball to Barnage. Waited in the pocket, stepped up in the pocket to elude pressure, and then threw it into double coverage. So that was a bad decision that could have resulted in a turnover, where if he had just gone, he only had two. And he had to look right at him because the way it timed out, it was an out with a go.
A vertical and an out behind it.
So it was he was looking at
yeah.
He only had one read to that field, to that, and they were in his vision. He
was it a little bit probably like preconceived in his mind to throw the go?
I'm guessing.
Has to be.
There was no reason not to throw it.
Got
you. He was looking out there. So there were a few plays where he did that. It didn't end up ultimately hurting him. I thought he missed, for example, on the play. It was a third down play to Hart where he tried to get Hartline coming back. Hartline kind of fell. If he was a little bit more patient, he had Gabriel on a jerk route against the linebacker.
Underneath.
And if he had just waited a beat longer and he had a clean pocket so he had the time to do it, he would have hit Gabriel for an easy first down, probably a big play because he would have scooted right up the middle.
And that's a question that you know, I'm not throwing out there to just create controversy, but how much of him and his development is a little bit premeditated with where he wants to go with the football? Or are they, you know, as last year, Brian Hoyer, guys were schemed open, and he delivered those down-the-field throws off that boot-and-waggle action, which was, again, props to Shanahan for drawing it up and then executing it and Hoyer making the throws. And I just think that as he – and I get the development that he has to have in the game to be able to, you know, to be able to draw his eyes off of where he should go or maybe where he went in practice that was wide open based upon the look and flips first read – to be able to go 1, 2, 3, or 1 right to 3 because you can feel and sense a guy winning in like with the jerk route underneath.
And it can, listen, it can be good and bad, right? Because on one hand, he knew Travis Benjamin. He told Travis Benjamin before that the first touchdown, he said, if they're in cover 4, I'm throwing it to you. And they came out there in cover 4 and they hit Travis for the touchdown. So preconceived can be okay, but at the same time, it is, you know, might not.
Well, that's why you call the play. Okay. That's, you know, it's a – John DeFilippo is playing percentages to call that route, expecting a certain coverage. And then it's, again, as you said, it's the players then communicate, hey, you know, the ball's coming your way if we get exactly what we expected. And that's good.
It is good. All right, we're going to go to the running backs now. Isaiah Crowell, 15 carries, 72 yards, almost 5 a carry, and the touchdown. Duke Johnson, 12 for 43 on the day. I'm going to give them a B+.
I'm going to go B+ as well. I thought, go ahead. Much more solid effort from week one. There was stability in the running attack, and it allowed Johnny Manziel to do some things off of the run threat that a quarterback should be able to use as an advantage.
Yeah, and when you look at Isaiah Crowell, he got 2 yards down the field before he took contact, 3 yards of after contact. That's star running back stuff. 5 yards of carry, that's what he needed to do. And I was very, very happy to see him do that. I thought that was very, very good. So they get a B+. Wide receivers, Travis Benjamin. I mean,
Travis Benjamin gets an A+.
Everybody else,
Everybody else gets a C+.
Hawk 3 for 43, so he was solid. Travis Benjamin and Hawkins were targeted 8 times. They had 6 of the team's completions for 158 of the yards and 2 touchdowns.
I still believe that if and when it comes to the point that Johnny Manziel is in fact the starter, he's got to put the ball in the air 25 times in a football game for you to be able to win football games and not be one-dimensional.
Absolutely.
And that means more targets for Hawk, more targets for Barnage, for Gabriel, for Hartline. Spread it around because, as I've mentioned, and I think we've seen it so far, even though Benjamin's been the star, it's going to be by committee. Eventually, we're not going to be able to hit Benjamin because the umbrella is going to be just too big over top of him that he's not going to be able to outrun defenders anymore.
Yeah. And it's
use that as an advantage.
That's where other people have to step up and take advantage of that. Guy Taylor Gabriel, I want to see more from him. Got to see more from Hartline. Got to see more from Bo. Tight ends, Gary Barnage, Jim Dre. Barnage, 1 catch in the game. That was it. He was open a few other times at Giant and get him the ball. But, again, when you don't throw it a ton, it's tough to evaluate. I thought blocking-wise, they did a fine job.
I'll give him a B. That's a B performance in my eyes.
Okay, and then offensive line. I was very tough on him after the first game. As were you. What do you think for them after this one?
I'm going to give them a B+. You know, there were times, and obviously the pickup on the play that Johnny made, they had enough to block it, and they just turned it the wrong way, or someone came free. But I'll give them a B+ because there were holes there. You don't get 2 yards before contact if they're not getting a push or covering up those bodies. And I thought I was happy with the run game. I still want to break one. You know, in a game where you block it up so well, the way Dexter McCluster had the run for 50-some yards, I still want one of those where you block it up so well, you get him in the right defense where you hit him in the jugular. I still want that one time of football game. But otherwise, overall, protected Johnny very well. Johnny wasn't scattered. You know, he didn't scatter out of the pocket as he had in a few other performances and was able to throw the football.
I thought that they did a much better job up front. I talked about Crow getting an opportunity to get down the field before he took contact. I thought that was very, very important for this team. We also talked about on the touchdown run that Crow had, what a great block by Mitchell Schwartz on the backside to completely seal it, and then Crow did the rest getting into the end zone there. So that was another thing that was good to see. I still think that there is a better job that they could be doing out there offensively. I still think there was still a little more pressure. There were still some complete blow-ups in the ground game. Alex Mack on one play was... The fourth and one was blown up. There was another run where Crow ended up getting hit as soon as he caught the ball deep in the backfield that I want to see a better job out of this offensive line. But I think they did a better job than week one. I'll give them a C+.
Okay.
Again, I want to see completely dominant performances.
After a win, I'm a little bit more lenient with my grades.
You are. Me too, as I am. But for this group, I want them to. I just want to hold them to a very high standard, and I want to see it. I hope that we can see it sooner rather than later. Defensively, we'll go through it quickly. Defensive line.
Great pressure all day. I'm going to give them an A-.
I'm going to give them a B because he still got gashed on the ground.
I don't necessarily know how much of it is actually on the defensive line.
So let's do it
line.
This way, and this is maybe a better way to do it for this particular game. Front seven.
Front seven.
A-plus for pass
front seven,
rush.
Get a B-.
A-plus for pass rush.
A-plus for pass. A for pass rush and a B-ish.
For run D? You're going to be in that
or nice? Or C-plus.
Maybe a C.
Okay.
For the run D.
So a B as a total.
Dexter McCluster never run for more than 60 yards in a game in his life.
He's elusive.
He is. He's elusive. And he had played the game before, so he had that going for him. The back end of this defense, I thought a much better job in this game. Still some things you got to clean up on that fourth down.
Yeah.
You don't want to let that touchdown happen.
Not the fourth down. Didn't like that. I thought Hayden fell asleep when Mariota looked away and wanted to go front side on the touchdown to Green Beckham. And then what thank goodness that Delanie Walker was hurt this game because Anthony Fasano and Chase Hoffman, put on a clinic at lumbering tight end positions that we couldn't cover. I just thought they found voids in the zone, or a lot like us. Mariota knew what coverage to expect, and it's exactly what we were in, and we didn't out-execute them in our defense. They found voids in the zone, and I thought just got open too freely that at some point, you know, they made up, what, 9 of the 21 receptions?
Yeah.
Or actually 10, including, you know, their third-string tight end. 10 of the 21 receptions completions by Marcus Mariota were two tight ends.
Yeah, a lot of those to the tight ends. And when you go into that game, you know, it was a combination of the safeties. I thought Dante Whitner had a little bit of a tough game again. And also some of the linebackers getting lost with those guys on the pass routes there. Special teams, Andy Lee again, A+. Travis Benjamin, A+. And Coons remains perfect.
Yeah, A+ from the special teams. Great effort.
That's
it. Takes more than one guy, too.
Yes, it does. We will take a break right now. When we come back, we'll get into the phone calls again. 216-578-0850. It's Mailbag Wednesday. Tweet your questions to me at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily, at MattWilhelm35, and we will answer those in our final segment along with your calls. And if we have time, we can go around the league a little bit with our producer, Dave DiNatale, coming up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.